We got a Sabres-Hurricanes preview coming your way for Tuesday night, but plenty on today's show about some college Sabre prospects. Devin Levi, Eric Portillo, Ryan Johnson. We have news on one of those three, and we have a pretty curious situation with the other two. So we'll get to all of that, Sabre prospects and also Sabres and Hurricanes here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase flying solo on today's show at Sneaky Joe Sports to follow me on Twitter. If you want to hit up Jordan on Twitter, Jordan Hanskin, my co-host, at JR Hanskin. The podcast account is at Locked On Sabres. This episode is coming to you, dropping about Tuesday afternoon, early afternoon, late morning. So because there is a game tonight, we will preview it, but we'll save that for the back half of today's show so that if you are listening to this on Wednesday or even Thursday, whenever you might be after Sabres and Hurricanes, then you'll know that's the second half of the show. If the game's already happened, you could skip it and you can just tune in for the first half here where I want to talk prospects. Devin Levi, there's news on the Sabres prospect goaltender, and also Kevin Adams has made comments on other Sabre college prospects, Ryan Johnson, defenseman at the University of Minnesota, and Eric Portillo, goaltender at the University of Michigan. I think Portillo's situation now changes drastically because of Devin Levi making the decision to return to school. So that's coming up here in just a second. Be sure to follow, like us, and subscribe us wherever you may be listening. Or if you're watching us, you can watch us on YouTube. The YouTube channel is just Locked On Sabres. Thank you to our listeners. We have been blown away that while the Sabres have played better since the beginning of March, they have made us a top 10 hockey podcast in the United States, according to the Apple Podcast charts, now twice. Right after Eichel's return to Vegas, I think we shot up as high as sixth. And usually at that range, you don't really see team-specific podcasts. It's more of the national shows. Well, again, yesterday being Monday and today, kind of the days following RJ night on Friday night, our listeners have pushed us all the way back into the top 10. I think we were 10th last I checked, and just blown away by that. It reminds you of the energy and the fan base, the love for the Sabres the fan base has that has just been buried because of an 11-year playoff drought. And it really reminds me, and it reminds Jordan, I know we've talked about this off air, that it reminds us that if this team gets good, and we hope that they're on the right track now, there are signs that they are on the right track. If this team gets good, it is the most special place in the United States to cover a hockey team, to cover the NHL. It is right here in Buffalo. And again, it reminds me of what it could be like. And I hope we get back to that very soon to where it's consistent. It's consistent to have the team have that sort of interest. So what do we have today? What we have today is we're 2 days out, by the way, from the Frozen Four. The Frozen Four, we'll have Denver versus Michigan at 5 o'clock on Thursday, and then the University of Minnesota and Ryan Johnson, Sabre prospect defenseman, will play at 7 o'clock on Thursday. So we have news. Devin Levi, goaltender at Northeastern. We've talked about him a few times throughout the year here on the podcast. Whenever we talk prospects, he's maybe been the first name that we get to. Owen Power, usually the first name we get to. Maybe Levi, though, is right after that. He just had the best season a goaltender has had in the NCAA since Ryan Miller 20 years ago. It has been two decades since a goalie in college has had a season as good as Devin Levi just had. North of a .950 save percentage. He should have been a Hobey Baker finalist. He wasn't. He really should have been. And everybody seemed to agree on that. That wasn't a voter. 10 shutouts in less than 30 games. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. And it seemed that he had catapulted Eric Portillo as, if not the number two goalie prospect in the organization, maybe the number one goalie prospect in the organization above Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. and it seemed that he was ready to turn pro. I don't know what happened. Maybe it would have been, I'll go pro if I'm in Buffalo, but I don't want to be in Rochester. If I'm going to be developing, and if I'm going to be in the minor league still, I'd rather be at Northeastern. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair. For him to prefer Northeastern over the Rochester Americans, I don't think should be taken as an insult, should be taken as a slap in the face. And I also can understand from Kevin Adams' perspective, if this is how the discussion went, and I don't know that it did, but if it did go this way behind the scenes, it was Buffalo versus Northeastern, not Rochester. I can understand from Kevin Adams' perspective to not want to guarantee him a spot with the Sabres, because if he shows up and he's not ready, you know, this, I would tell him if I were in the meeting and I were Kevin Adams, like, Devin, I get it. You want to be in Buffalo and we think you could do it, but if it's not going well and we think you need time to groom in Rochester, then we don't want to feel like we're offending you if we want to send you down. And also, while you just had the best season in college hockey, we want to see what Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's got. So maybe it is best both sides to take a year and let the Sabres see what Luukkonen has got in a full year in the NHL and see if, see if Devin Levi progresses in college. There's no progression. I mean, he had the best season in college. Go chase the national championship. Go chase the national championship. You know, mature a little bit mentally if he needs to do that. I don't know that he even needs to do that. And you know what? Have fun. Have fun in college, and we'll see you in a year. That might be the approach I would take with Levi from the first place. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all that he is returning to college. But what it does do is it now changes the timeline and it changes the equation for the other Sabres goaltender prospects. Luukkonen, I think, will still be in Buffalo next year, but this is now confirmation. To me, this is confirmation that Levi, I didn't think it was going to happen anyway, but Levi is not going to supplant Luukkonen on the organizational timeline. Lukanen's going to be the guy that they get a look at next year, and we could really get a good, hard look at whether Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is an NHL goaltender, whether he's a starting caliber goaltender in the league. And I think next year is the year to really find that out. Let's get him 40-plus games in the NHL at least next year. Pair him with Craig Anderson, pair him with another veteran, a Braden Holtby type, pair him with whoever you want, but Luukkonen should be in Buffalo next year. Levi, going back to Northeastern, eliminates to me any possibility that another Sabre goalie prospect would supplant him, because I don't think Eric Portillo has it in him to beat out Luukkonen next year. I don't think it's in the cards at all. Levi, there was a slight chance. Portillo, none. But Portillo did have a good year. He had a good year at Michigan. No, not a historically good year like Levi did, but he's a good goalie prospect in his own right, Eric Portillo. And while he might rank third on the organizational depth chart for the Sabres, that does not mean he does not have a good chance or even a great chance of becoming a starting caliber goaltender in the NHL. So I think now that Levi is going back to Northeastern, if I were Kevin Adams, and he said today that he talked to the media and he said that he was going to talk with Portillo and with Ryan Johnson at the Frozen Four. He wouldn't say what he was going to talk about, but I think obviously we can all assume that the discussion is going to revolve around what your future is with us, whether you want to go back to Michigan or whatnot. The thing with Portillo, and also Johnson, but sticking with Portillo here, one more season, if Portillo were to go back to Michigan for one more year, he would then be able to walk next summer. He would then be able to become an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 23, which means if you don't sign him now, especially with Levi coming next year, ideally, you might be kissing Eric Portillo goodbye. You might be saying, you go back to Michigan and we'll try to get a deal done next summer, but you'd be mentally preparing for Portillo to pull the Cal Peterson move of leaving after his junior season for another team, another organization, and you would lose him for nothing. And I don't want to see that happen. So now that Levi is out of the picture for 2022-23, I think the best outcome that the Sabres should want, and I would believe that they will chase, is that Eric Portillo signs his entry-level contract and he goes to Rochester and I would say becomes the starter in Rochester. Maybe it's a split. Maybe it's a split, but I would say Portillo, get him the load of games and get him developing so that we could find out about him as soon as possible. You got three goalie prospects where odds are at least one, if not two, and if you're lucky, three, become NHL goaltenders. Lukanen is the furthest along. Next year is find-out season for Lukanen, right? 22-23, to me, is find-out season for Lukanen. The next year, maybe it's find-out season for Portillo, or maybe it's find-out season for Levi. But if Portillo is going to be in the picture for this team long-term, I think he's got to be in Rochester next year. Because I'm not saying I wouldn't like to sign him after one more year at Michigan. I would. I don't think it's a bad thing if he says, I'll sign with you next year, but I'm going back to Michigan for one more year to chase the national championship. All right, that I'm fine with. But me personally, being someone on the outside and not knowing what that conversation would sound like, if Eric Portillo goes back to Michigan, my bet is he's not signing here, that he's going to walk away for nothing after one more year. That would be what I would bet on. I'd be very skeptical that he would return. So I would say now the attention should turn to Eric Portillo in net. Sign him to an entry-level deal if you can and get him going in Rochester, maybe at the end of this year too, but also next year as their starting goaltender, and let's see if we could find out what we've got in Eric Portillo. I've got a thought on Ryan Johnson as well, how it relates to the defensive depth in the organization, whether or not the Sabres should sign Johnson or maybe think about a trade for Sabre prospect defenseman Ryan Johnson. So I got a thought on that when we come back, and then we'll also get to a little preview of Sabres and Hurricanes, which is coming your way on Tuesday night for our listeners that are listening on Tuesday afternoon. That's all on the way here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Head over to betonline.net. We'll do a betting preview of Sabres and Hurricanes a little bit later on, and we do that at betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. I had a bad beat with the Sabres on Friday night. I wanted that Alex Tuch empty netter. He just missed it, so sometimes you win some, you lose some, right? But if you head to betonline.net, you get all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship. It just came out that Tiger Woods is planning on playing at the Masters, and you could bet on him to win the tournament, finish in the top 10, make the cut over at betonline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, scores for the four major sports. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe DiBiase back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. I got a thought on Ryan Johnson. We just talked a lot about the goaltending situation. Devin Levi returning to Northeastern. Eric Portillo has got a semifinal game in the Frozen Four on Thursday night against Denver, and he will be the starting goaltender, of course, for that game. And then Portillo watch will begin depending on whether or not they win that game. And if not, then we'll have to wait until the national championship, which is on Saturday. So it's either going to be Friday or it's going to be this weekend that we start firing up Eric Portillo watch. Ryan Johnson watch will also be a thing, also depending on whether or not Minnesota wins in the Frozen Four and goes to the national championship. So we will either talk about him on Friday or we'll talk about him at the beginning of next week for Ryan Johnson watch, the Sabre prospect defenseman acquired with the 31st overall pick in 2018. That was the first round pick that the Sabres got. 2019, actually, I think. Should I double check that? I'm 99% sure that it's 2019. I'm just going to double check. And 2019, 31st overall. I had it right. So Johnson is a left shot defenseman. I think there's a good conversation to be had about whether to trade him if he's given you any, if he's not just going to sign right away. And even you could want to trade him even if he does want to sign. And I'll get to that in a second. But the compounding factor with Johnson that is the same as Eric Portillo is if he doesn't sign this spring, Johnson could play one more year at Minnesota, and then he can become an unrestricted free agent. Same situation as Portillo, where it might not be up to the Sabres if they could sign him or not, because he might just not want to. But they will be at risk of losing him for nothing if he decides, I want to play one more year at Minnesota, and then we'll see where we're at. Johnson, there's two things with him as to why you might want to trade him. His development's gone well. You know, that first year after the draft in 2019-20, he didn't really have a great year. He didn't have a great year. I think he was maybe even still in the USHL at that point. If not, it was his first year in Minnesota. he's had a couple of good years since then. He's become a very good offensive defenseman, a puck mover, a good skater, not big, not overly physical, not a great shot, but just a good puck moving defenseman that, you know, second power play unit, could eat 18 minutes a night. It's kind of what he sounds like he's kind of trending towards, at least to me. And you could have something there. You could have like a legitimate second pair defenseman for a long time in Ryan Johnson. Or, you know, I mean, it's definitely possible he doesn't become anything, because once upon a time we thought Brendan Gooley, it's how prospects go in the NHL. I don't really need to explain to you the hit rate, the probabilities that these guys become great players, but Gooley's one example. We all thought Brendan Gooley was going to be a great NHL defenseman, top pair potential, right? And he's like a betweener. He's like in the AHL, to the Ducks, back to the AHL. That's where he is in Anaheim right now. He's placed on waivers like once a year. You know, that can happen. And maybe that becomes Ryan Johnson. Or maybe Ryan Johnson becomes a stud. You know, it could be one of the two. I think no matter what you think he might become, if you're the Sabres, you have to consider the possibility that the best course of action is to trade Ryan Johnson. Now, for two reasons. I'm not against keeping him and having him be a part of the depth. Because while they are stacked on the left side of their blue line, I just went through it. Who knows what Matias Samuelsson will become long-term. Maybe down the road, the Sabres want to trade Rasmus Dahlin if Owen Power becomes Victor Hedman 2.0 and flip Dahlin into an elite offensive player if they can get it. I don't want to trade Dahlin at any point right now, but I'm just throwing it out there. You never know what you're going to want to do if you have that much skill at one position and you just don't need that much. Well, Johnson at the moment, he's at best fourth on the organizational depth chart when it comes to left shot defensemen. He's probably above Jacob Bryson, so I won't put him fifth. But the other guys you've got on the left side, like you could be feel like you're already set without him in the picture for 5 to 10 years. Rasmus Dahlin is on the left side. Owen Power is on the left side. Matias Samuelsson, who's had a very nice rookie season for the Sabres, is on the left side. And if you want it, Jacob Bryson, who we don't think is going to be anything special. He's a fun little player, and he's a guy that could play in the NHL in your bottom pair if you need him to. Power play time. He's on the left side as well. He's shown a little bit of flexibility to move to the right side, but Bryson, too, is in the picture. And if I'm Ryan Johnson, this is why I'm skeptical that if he goes back, even more than Portillo, that he'll sign with you. And if I get any pushback from him on wanting to sign this spring, I'm moving him. I'm going to try to flip that prospect who's, you know, a B-level prospect to get me a B-level prospect at another position. Teams are not giving up right-shot defensemen right now. So I don't think you'll be able to get that position. But if you could flip your left-shot depth for right-shot depth, I'm into that. If you could flip him for a B-level prospect at the wing and some other team needs defensive help, I'm into that. If it's a center, I'm into that. Goalie, I think I'm set. I think goalie is the one position where I wouldn't do it. But flipping your depth from one position to the other, if Ryan Johnson doesn't want to sign with you, because again, if I'm Ryan Johnson, how do I look at it right now? I look at it as, all right, I got a real chance to make the NHL in the next year or two. I got a real chance at that. Currently on the Sabres, and they hold my rights. I know I slot behind Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin. So to get a roster spot, I got to do one of two things. I've either got to beat out Matias Samuelsson for that final left shot defensive place, which right now might look like a big challenge because he's had a really nice rookie season. Or two, I've got to change positions. I got to flip over to the right side. I got to play on my offside. And I don't know how comfortable he would be of doing that. Maybe it wouldn't be a problem for him at all, but also maybe it would be. Maybe he would rather go to a place where he could play on the left side and he could be the second ranking left shot defenseman in that team's organization. You know, Pittsburgh is a team that never has prospects. He might think, well, I'd like to go to Pittsburgh and I'd be their number one prospect defenseman, or especially on the left side. I don't think that's a big giant leap to think Ryan Johnson might have that circling through his brain right now. And if I'm the Sabres, I want to pry that out of him. I want to know what his motivation is. I want to try to sign him right now. And if I get any pushback or if I get just a direct answer from him of, yeah, you know, I'd like to go to Minnesota. And then I don't really know where I'm at. I think I might prefer to go somewhere else. If I'm the Sabres, I might just say, okay, I understand that. I get it. Power, Dahlin, Samuelson. It's completely reasonable as to why you would think that way, and we'll work with you, and we'll start looking for a trade partner that you would consider signing with, and maybe we can get a prospect, flip your depth for depth in our own organization. So that's where I'm at with Ryan Johnson, but we'll have to see if we get any news on him in the next week. Again, he plays for Minnesota on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in the Frozen Four. All right, coming back, Sabres and Hurricanes, Tuesday night. We will have a little bit of a preview for that. So for our listeners that are listening on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, and you've already watched the game or know what happens in the game, I take no disrespect at you skipping the next part of the show. But for everybody else, we will come back, betting preview, and also what tonight's lineups are going to look like for the first of a home-and-home with the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll get to that right after this here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. This episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for you to for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have a very good mobile website. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or 100% more for the same parts? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from the chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Jody Biasi back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks everybody for tuning in to today's show, making us your first listen every day. The Sabres play the Carolina Hurricanes, a 7 o'clock puck drop at KeyBank Center Tuesday night. It's the first of a home and home with Carolina Thursday night at 7:30. They will be in Raleigh. The Hurricanes are having a fabulous season. They are first place in the Metropolitan Division with 98 points in 69 games played. They are 4 points ahead of the New York Rangers with a game in hand. So they are in very good shape to win the Metro Division and likely play either the fourth place team out of the Atlantic Division. So they're going to have a big challenge in round one. Right now, that team would be Tampa. Tampa, the Lightning are in the first wildcard spot with 93 points. And today, Carolina would play them in round one. They also could play Boston, who also has 93 points. They're just above Tampa right now on a tiebreaker. It could also be Toronto. Toronto at 95 points is 2 points ahead of Tampa Bay. So they could play Tampa, they could play Boston, or they could play Toronto. And it's possible they still would get Washington in a playoff series, but they'd have to catch Florida, and they're 4 points back of Florida, and Florida looks dominant right now. So I'm not betting on them catching Florida. I would predict they'll get that fourth-place wildcard team, that fourth-place Atlantic team, and that will be a very tough challenge. But they're a great hockey team. They have always been great analytically, and the thing that's always been holding them back, not necessarily the last 2 years, but really like the 4 years before that, was they said they didn't have goaltending. This year, man, they are getting goaltending. Freddie Anderson. How funny is that? He leaves Toronto where he got scapegoated year after year after year, and he is one of the best goalies in hockey this year. He has got a .928 save percentage that is behind Igor Shesterkin, and I think that might be it. I just had the numbers in front of me, and I closed it by accident, so I can't tell you whether or not it is factual that he is second, but I know he's behind Shesterkin, and I don't know anybody else that he is behind. It might only be him. And if you look at the five-on-five save percentage for the season, he is seventh in the NHL. Seventh behind, actually, Antti Raanta, who's also came in and played really well for Carolina in net. Raanta's at a .932. Anderson's at a .931. Shesterkin is above him at .934. Thatcher Demko, Darcy Kemper, Ilya Sorokin, and Pavel Francouz. That's it. Carolina's got two of the 10 best goaltenders in hockey this year when it comes to five-on-five production. So they've got that box checked, and they've got talent all over the place. Not a superstar, but, you know, maybe Sebastian Aho is getting into that category. He's just barely above a point a game. He is their leading scorer. He's a star player. Maybe not a superstar, but he's a star. 31 goals. He leads them in goals as well. 69 points in 66 games played. Andrei Svechnikov has been a very good player for them. 60 points in 66 games. And the defensive pool for them has really always been their strength, and they're still going there. Jacob Slavin and Tony DeAngelo is on their top pair. Brady Shea, Brett Pesce, Brendan Smith, and Ian Cole. DeAngelo, 45 points in 51 games. I mean, despicable human being. And when it comes to some things, like when he punched his teammate allegedly in the tunnel, he said some other things that are just kind of gross, but he's a good hockey player. He's a good offensive hockey player. Seth Jarvis, by the way, good young rookie for them. He was their 13th overall pick in the first round in 2020, 19 years old. He's playing on their top line right now. The offensive production is just kind of good. It's good, not great. 28 points in 55 games. But again, when you see him tonight, he will be on Carolina's top line with Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen. Vincent Trocheck, Andrei Svechnikov, Martin Nekas rounds out their second line. Jordan Staal, Jesper Fast, and Nino Niederreiter on the third line. Derek Stepan, Dominic Bach, and Jordan Martinuk on the fourth line. So that's what you're looking at Carolina, a very strong hockey team, yet another playoff team and another top tier team that the Sabres will face. They've played a lot of those teams as of late. Let's see, who's Carolina going with in net? There was not confirmation on that when I started the show. And do we have it now? We do. Frederick Anderson is going to play against the Sabres tonight. Craig Anderson will start for the Sabres. And the Sabres lines have been pretty consistent. Tage Thompson with Alex Tuch, Jeff Skinner. Casey Mittelstadt with Rasmus Asplund, Victor Olofsson. Dylan Cousins with Vinny Hinostroza and Peyton Krebs. And then Cody Eakin with Zemgus Girgensons and Kyle Okposo. The blue line, Dahlin with Yoki Haru. Samuelson with Bryson. Will Butcher with Casey Fitzgerald, and I mentioned Craig Anderson will be between the pipes. And then finally, on today's show, let's head back over to betonline.net. So get some of the odds for tonight's game. The Sabres are, of course, an underdog, despite being at home, plus 200 on the money line. Carolina is minus 250. On the puck line, the Sabres at plus a goal and a half are minus 115. Carolina at minus a goal and a half is minus 105. The over-under for this game is set at 6. What do I like for tonight's game? Well, you know what? For that, why don't we look at the trends? The Hurricanes have covered the spread. They have covered the puck line 47% of the time. The Sabres have been good on the puck line this year. I guess I should stick with that. I'm going to stick with it. The Sabres at plus a goal and a half cover at 60% of the time. So the trends would tell you to go with the Sabres there. They are up straight up. They are 23-33-11 as an underdog. So on the money line, you're probably about breaking even, but you know, if you're betting the puck line, you're probably a little bit ahead if you've been doing that for the Sabres all season. And then the over under, the Hurricanes are 29-36-4 on the over. So they hit the under a lot. The Sabres hit the over just a little bit, a smidge more than they hit the under at 34-31-5. I like the under for tonight's game. You're getting Freddie Anderson in net. I don't think the Sabres are going to score a lot of goals in this game. Carolina can smother you defensively, prevent scoring chances, and I think that this game will get held below 6. Something like 3-1, 3-2, 4-1, but I don't think it's getting to 6. And I hope you enjoyed the game. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I will recap it when we come back tomorrow. And I've got a comment or two on Kyle Okposo for our next show. I think he's actually interesting now. Is that weird? Sound weird? Because the young guys is really where our focus has been all year. Okposo, 1 year left on his $6 million contract. I think he's going to get interesting in terms of whether he's someone you could sell, someone that deserves a second contract, and whether this is real. What we're seeing this year is Kyle Okposo is about to set his Sabre high in goals and points if he continues on this pace over the final dozen or so games in the Sabre season. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about Sabres and Hurricanes, and we'll also continue to look forward to the Frozen Four with Owen Power, Eric Portillo, and Brian Johnson, which is coming your way on Thursday. So talk to you tomorrow here on Locked On Sabres. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.